Christian greetings to all in the precious name of Jesus, the one who loved us so much that he, like the board says, he died. But he lives again. Praise the Lord. We can live through him. And of course, first we must die to ourselves. And then we will be opened up, we will be cleansed by Jesus, and we can have a blessed life. So grace be unto you and peace be multiplied from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was blessed with the song this morning. I guess I was kind of instrumental that the song was led. Well, I thought I knew which page it was. God Himself is present. What does that mean to you when you come to church? God Himself is present. Let us now adore Him. Well, I trust every one of us adored Him before we came to church this morning. When our eyes opened up, well, I guess my mind opens up sometimes before my eyes open up, but we adored him before we even got out of bed. Do we think about that? I believe if we are God conscious, it will be some of our last thoughts before we go to sleep and the first ones when we wake up in the morning. God himself is present when we get together as a church. And we have this verse in Matthew, the first chapter, verse 23, where he says that, behold, a virgin will be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. Yeah, his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. How often do we think about that, about God with us? Do we think about God whenever we tread the day, we go into the day? I have been encouraged years ago. You know, when we step into the day, we want to step into the day in the name of Jesus. No one else can help us like he can and like he will if we are God conscious. And so Emmanuel, God with us. And so that he is. And you know, there's various religions, a number of religions besides the Christian religion. And we think of that as a way of life, not just a religion, but it is Christ within us. And for many years, you know, these different writers have come up with certain writing, thinking they are an apostle or a prophet, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Latter-day Saints, and various others. I can't name them all. They say Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And so, anyhow, many of these strive to search for God. And you know, there are many wise men throughout the centuries who tried to know God and to please him. Their thoughts about God and his requirements for man are written down in these sacred books of these religions. But every one of them, they're written, and it always, they picture earth going to heaven. Well, there'll be a new earth someday, but it says it's coming down from heaven. The earth will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. And what manner of persons ought we to be? Very God conscious, I believe. We have a God that is above everything. And of course, these books, these religions, they're very serious and very sincere. But also they are futile and hopeless yearnings. Friends, I hope there's nobody here this morning that has any hopeless situation. But if they do, God is there. He is able to do far above that which we ask or think. And so it is amazing. And only Christianity, if we can be encouraged, only in Christianity do we have the story of how God, knowing we could not reach him, but he reached down to us. And Christ died, but he's alive. He's alive today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. Every one of us. So, God with us. And I found a reading here that, he reached down, yes? And we want to be with God and want God to be with us. There's no person, and I think a whole lot of my wife, but I think we ought to love God more yet than our partners, if you know what I'm saying. And it's a special thing. It's of God. If you get married, I hope it's all in God, all because of God, and because God had a special way to propagate the human race by having parents, having a couple that wants to live in Christ Jesus. And so, during this reading says, during the World War I, the Americans were praying, Lord, be with us as we fight the Germans. And the Germans had these badges on their suits and says, Gott mit uns. So, what did God do? I mean, I don't know how he handled it, but I know who won the war. But, like Brother Sheldon spoke to us this morning. I really appreciated that. God is in control. And God is in control of your life if you let him be. But if you're going to take your own way, Lord have mercy. We won't get there. But then he says here, and for those that don't understand, Gott mit uns, glaub alle aber kann bad Deutsch durch. Anyhow, it's wonderful. Anyhow, God with us is what the Germans had in mind. And so, does God now have to choose between the two? Both armies fought. But was Gott mit uns or war Gott mit sie? You know, God has a way to work things out. God with us is more than just a slogan. It's something that's real. His presence is the living reality, the living way that we want to travel this journey from earth to heaven. Someday we won't have our 425 Cox Road address. We'll be going on. We'll be moving elsewhere. And so this is, God is real. His presence is real. He said in Matthew, and I forget now, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. And he says, where two on earth agree on a certain thing that they want, they shall ask, and he will give it. Now, we want to ask according to his will. We want to have that in that prayer. According to his will. And so we open our hearts and we invite Jesus into our hearts. And we want him to take control, not our own selves. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open that door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." Revelation 3:20. "And surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, and the upright shall dwell in the presence in thy presence." And he also says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Matthew 28:20. So when we dwell in the presence of God, our lives are moderated and ordered by his loving spirit of God. His loving spirit. It's not to put us down in any way, but it's to lift us up in our lives. Yes, we're not perfect, but God, in his great love and his loving kindness and mercies, were new this morning again. And so in his great love, he is our perfection. We can be perfect through Christ, in Christ Jesus. And it is very important, and just read the study Ephesians again to find out how often it says that we are in Christ. We are not just doing our own thing. We want to do what Christ wants us to do. We want him to be in us, and we want to be in him. We dwell in the presence of God, whether we are aware of God's presence or not. But we should always be aware of that. We are fruitful unto good works and testify that his word is true and it will never pass. Even though heaven and earth shall pass away, his word will not pass away. It will stand at the judgment bar, at the judgment door of heaven. If we are not in Christ, we will not enter in. "Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. I knew you not. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him." Colossians 2:9-10. We are complete in him. Without him, we're lost. The presence of Christ in our lives contributes a loving and forgiving spirit and a joyous attitude filled with peace. Peace, the peace of God passes all understanding. Thank you. Passes all understanding. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? The presence of God I can't find words. When we come together as a church, the presence of God is there. We brought him along, didn't we? Of course we did. If not, it must be a drab life. But may God help us. And he says, the presence of Christ in the life contributes to a loving and giving, forgiving spirit and a joyous attitude with peace. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there is pleasure forevermore." Won't that be wonderful there? Indeed it will. God's peace is a tremendous part of sensing God's presence in our lives. God's peace. When we be at peace with God, we have such a good life, such a wonderful life. Peace with God, peace with our fellow men. The two greatest commandments, I think you know them all, but we are to love God with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all of our mind and might, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so may God help us. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And that's in Psalm 16, verse 11. God's peace is so wonderful. And he said in, John 14, I believe. John 14, 27. He says, peace I have given to you, peace I leave with you, peace I have given to you. Not give I to you as the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you have a heart that's troubled and a heart that's afraid, oh, I'm afraid, you know. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek counsel. We cannot serve God. We cannot do it by ourselves. We must have Christ within us if we want to get to heaven. And so may God help us in this. The best of everything is this, that God is with us. Gott mit uns. And so may we realize what that Emmanuel did, that presence of God. God with us. And so we have this thing, and another thought that came to me, I dwelled on this already, is the upcoming communion that this congregation is looking forward to. It is wonderful if we are prepared. I flipped over was it 2 Kings? 2 Kings, and you know, it's there the prophets had come together for a meal. They had come together for a meal, and one of the servants went out and was to go gather some stuff for a soup. It made me think when I read that of this pumpkin soup that we had so much of in Australia. It was good, but they had it more often than we would probably. Pumpkin soup and scones, which is like a little biscuit or something. And so this man went out there and he found these gourds on a vine, and he took them off and he ground them up and put them in that soup. I could just see that pumpkin being ground up and in that soup, you know. But it was all right. But this here was not all right. And when they started eating, they says, oh, man of God, thou man of God, there is death in the soup. And so what could they do? But fortunately, Elisha, the prophet of God, knew exactly what to do. And friends, let us be so God-conscious that we can figure out within the love and the fear of God that's in our hearts, and we know somehow we can get through this problem that we have. And that's what Elisha did. Elisha said, go out and get some meal, probably meal, and said that they should cast it into the kettle. So they put that flour in there and stirred it up, and it was good to eat. You know what? That's what Satan is doing. Satan is convinced, he convinced Adam and Eve that there's no death involved. If I eat this fruit, I can be disobedient and it won't matter. Satan convinced them that they could do that. And there's so many people today that are convinced that it's all right to do just what I want. It doesn't matter what the people say. And I appreciated the messages in the last while. Even if I wasn't here, I usually get to listen to them. Brother Henry and Norman have preached some powerful messages in the past month and six weeks, whatever it was. And last Sunday being a part. And Norman's message, the two I remember the best, was having fellowship with one another and with God. You remember that. If you don't, listen to it again. I don't know where it's at, but anyhow. Satan is trying to get people to think that evil is good and good is bad. And he tries to twist things around and the precepts of God. And people say, this doesn't matter anymore. It's not for our time. That was for those people way back there. When Paul said that in Corinthians, he had the headship order that people were not listening to. And so he said that this is the headship order is God and Jesus, man and woman in that order. But Satan tries to tell people, well, that doesn't make any difference. You know, you can do as you please. Well, he tries to get these precepts of God's word and persuade mankind to think that, well, that doesn't matter. Christ's obedient followers must be able to identify false doctrines. And there's so much of that going on anymore. I feel that But our young people are being attacked, and older people as well, to get into the mode of doing what I want to. Satan says, that's all right. Yeah, God really didn't mean this, what he says. But Satan's lie convinced Adam and Eve that there's no death involved. But you know, they died. They died. Maybe they didn't die physically right away, but they died spiritually. And Satan is still out there twisting these precepts of God around to where people just accept his subtlety. And, we need to daily partake of God's word, as Brother Sheldon mentioned this morning. Read God's word every day. I appreciated that. It's so important. So, is there death in our pots today? Are there things that are we rubbing shoulders with those that don't obey God and obey Christ's teachings and stuff like that? And sometimes I wonder, do our bookshelves contain books that aren't really good to read and have misleading doctrines and so forth? Yeah, to eradicate death from our pots, we must remove ourselves from any poisoning influences. Like that... It was really a real easy fix when he said, get some flour by here and pour some flour in there. Well, sometimes our things that these poisoning influences are not fixed that easy. And foremost, we must anchor ourselves in Christ, and his words are spirit and they are life. Not all of man's theories can be trusted. Let's remember that. Let's trust the word of God. Timothy 3. I'm going to read some of this, the third chapter here, of Timothy. And I didn't give a title, but you can have that Emmanuel title if you want to. But in 2 Timothy 3, This know, and the heading here says, wickedness in the last days foretold. And brothers and sisters, I believe we are in the last days. We really believe that. Do you believe that? And young people, take heed to these things of the world. This know also, chapter 3 in 2 Timothy, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly, shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also is. But thou, brethren and sisters, we are of God. But thou, brethren, he says here to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And he says, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. We don't know what we have to suffer yet before the Lord returns. But he says here in verse 13, but evil men and seducers, those that tell others there's nothing to this word of God, there's nothing, you don't have to do that, you don't have to obey that, he says, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's the time in which we live. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man and the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, God wants us to be thoroughly furnished. He has provided everything. He has given us all that we need. Why do we wait? And so let us take heed. And as I come back to the thoughts of our communion and the blessedness, God instituted this, the Lord instituted this, so that we would remember that he died, that he rose again for our justification. He died for our salvation, rose for our justification. Somehow, I don't know just how, but somehow a copy of the Lord's Supper, on the Lord's Supper from the Schleitheim, we've got the Dordrecht Confession that we use And it's very similar. The Schleitheim Confession is very similar, only it's number 3, Article 3. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:17. And the confession of 1527. 1525 is when Conrad Grebel and George Blaurock and them broke away from the Catholic Church. And they come up with this Schleitheim Confession in 1527. And, of course, ours that we use is the Dordrecht Confession of 1632. And it's very similar. But I'm going to read this in closing. I hope I can close then. Confession concerning the breaking of bread. We have become one and agree thus. All those who desire to break the one bread in remembrance of the broken body of Christ, and all those who wish to drink of one drink in remembrance of the shed blood of Christ, they must beforehand be united in the one body of Christ, that is the congregation of God, whose head is Christ, and that by holy baptism. For as Paul indicates, we cannot be partakers at the same time of the table of the Lord and the table of the devils. We cannot drink take the drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. That is, all those who have fellowship with the dead works of darkness and have no part in the light. Thus, all who follow the devil in the world have no part with those who have been called out of the world unto God. All those who lie in evil have no part in the good. So it shall be, so it shall and must be, that whosoever does not share the calling of the one God, one faith, one baptism, to one spirit, to one body, together with all the children of God, may not be made one loaf together with them. And must be true of one, if one wishes to truly break the bread according to the commandment of God. So let's think about these things as we near that weekend. Is that what, 3 weeks from today, that Paul and the bishops are going to be here? Anyhow, let's think on these things. Let's check ourselves with the Word of God. Where do we stand? How do we stand? And let us realize the love that Christ had for us, and let us love Him and obey Him. And so let's stay within the bounds of the Holy Bible that teaches us how to live and how to die. Thank you for your prayers. We're so grateful for the congregation, and may we all strive to be faithful unto our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father God, and the Holy Spirit. This time, let's kneel for prayer.